Hello and welcome to PMC Live. My name is Shelby Herbert and I report for KFSK. And today I am hosting PMC Live, where I get a chance to talk with some folks from Petersburg Medical Center. And so do you. This is a live call-in show. You can call 907-772-3808 to ask a question. Today I am joined by Phil Hofstetter, PMC CEO, Jennifer Briner, who is dialing in. Jennifer is PMC's chief nursing officer, and Sonia Paul, who is the radiology department manager. Welcome, folks. How are ya?
Good.
Excellent. You. Jennifer, can you hear us all right?
I can hear you.
Excellent. I can hear you as well. We've got a great connection. Excellent. So, Phil, I'm so thrilled to hear. It was in our news today. You've got some exciting facility updates. What do you have for us?
Yeah. So we did. Last week we received a verbal approval for our Treasury grant that we were kind of waiting on, and we were going back and forth quite a bit. So I'm still waiting for the written. So that's still key, but it is a green light, which is great. That's the $20 million, and that helps us get to phase two, if you're looking at our project management, to the full site preparation, and then basically kind of like a medical office support building called the Work Building, which is workforce, economic, and resource center related to the Treasury funding. So we're very excited about it. It's a tremendous asset and win for our new structure, new building.
Certainly. So you guys are about a quarter of the way to your goal.
A third. And we are looking at the next phase would be what they call a core and shell for the main building, which would be $37 million to get that complete. And so that's our next funding request to advocate for that at the state. And also we're working with the USDA on, some of the, later on phases and the foundations.
Certainly. Would you happen to have the number in your head? Where is PMC at now? So in addition to this 20.
Right. So we received, grateful for Senator Murkowski's appropriation. That was $8 million.
$8 million.
So,
excellent.
Adding on to the $20 million would be $28 million.
Wow.
Which is a very significant chunk. Towards the new facility.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. What is, do you have any hard deadlines? I mean, when do you have to have that?
Yeah, so the Department of Treasury has, and this is one of the reasons why it was going back and forth, has very specific criteria and very specific, within that criteria are deadlines. And that building has to be open by December 2026. And so, which is hard because we couldn't use the remaining funding towards the other phase of the new building. So it does have to have a semblance of a standalone feature, when we open, which is actually very, very beneficial in a lot of ways because it's open to the community. It's focused on education, broadband, public health monitoring. So public health nursing will be over there. And one of the, since I have Sonia here, is an MRI. And that was one of the things that Sonia really was advocating for us when we actually had a pretty rapid turn of events a few weeks ago related to some questions back from the Treasury on this. And so that's an added feature as well, which is a tremendous asset to the community. So those are real exciting things.
Phenomenal. That's great. So you've got two-thirds left to go. Are you feeling pretty confident you'll be able to...
It's a battle. It's a constant battle. And that's always the counter to it. I hear it in the community all the time. Where are you going to get the money? And really, it's about advocacy and making sure that I always think of, for those of you who love movies, I always think of Shawshank Redemption. It's one of my favorites, Stephen King novel production, where he's advocating. But there's one scene in there where he's writing to the state related to funding for a library. And then when he got the funding, then he wrote three letters a week, went from one letter. And I feel like that in a lot of ways, because it's really about advocacy, getting everyone behind the project. We need a new facility, new building, to support our healthcare services. I know there's a lot of questions. Happy to answer those. You know, I had a great opportunity for a community member to reach out and say, hey, I want to tour the facility. I said, absolutely. When can you come in? And, you know, I'm in early, so I was able to do a 7 a.m. tour. Happy to do that for anyone. So making sure that the public is informed and making sure that they can see some of the challenges that we're experiencing and why we say the things that we say when it comes down to the facility, not just an engineer's report or an architect's report.
On the topic of opening doors, at the last hospital board meeting, you mentioned something about possibly having another open house. You had one in the spring. You flew in architects from Bettisworth North. What might the community be able to expect for engagement opportunities in the future?
Yeah, yes, excellent. So we're about 35% complete of what they call full architects and design. And a lot of that obviously is related to that funding, the Treasury funding. So we didn't have these full plans to present. But the goal is to then present where we are with the project, an opportunity for the public to come in and look at some of the poster boards with that design, some of the services, and ask questions to the people working on that project.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Phil. Pivoting a bit, you all received an award this last month. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes.
And more exciting news.
Yeah. So I think at the last KFSK Live, I talked about we were heading down to the State Association in Anchorage for our annual meeting and executive board meeting and also conference. And during that conference, Petersburg Medical Center Long-Term Care received a quality award, it's a little gold pan, so that's kind of nice, from the organization that was nominated. And it's well-deserved. There's a fantastic team up there that works with our residents every single day, doing wonderful things and excellent care. So I'm not surprised because it's such a great team up there. So.
Certainly. Yeah. Well, congratulations and congrats to the long-term care team. If you're listening out there, I see that you have some specialty clinics.
Yes.
Coming up. Right. Who's coming to town?
Jennifer will probably talk a little bit about the colonoscopy. She led that that initiative, which was something that the organization has had in the past. It's just was stopped a while ago. It's hard to get a surgeon, and then COVID occurred, and it's been sort of a challenge getting a team on board with that. So Jennifer, I'll let her talk about that a little bit. But we have dermatology clinic coming up in October, later this October, which is very exciting. And we have optometry here, which, Dr. Kapp's been coming here for a number of months now. So she's on a schedule. And there's two things. One is providing the service, but more importantly is setting up, MOAs and contracts so it's a recurring service. And that's the big thing. It's something that was sort of a gap in the past. You know, people came here because, maybe we'll come here because we like it here, or they want to do some fishing or something. And I'm more about consistency and making sure there's good providers with a contract or an MOA in place so they can come on a periodic and consistent basis, getting that continuity of care in place, which is so, so important, especially with specialties.
That's exciting. Thank you so much for that update, Phil. I'm looking here. Any other updates on your end? What's going on out there? We've shifted those meetings officially to the assembly chambers.
It's so cool to see that. It feels different in the assembly chambers. I was actually really excited because there was public comment. You know, I've been going to the assembly meetings, and it's always so good to hear from the public. Even if it's not all positive, you always want to hear back from the community and be open to ideas. And we were able to hear using public comment opportunity, which was great because, we had a pretty low attendance with the community in the past. And I always knew that the new facility would prompt more attendance and more vigilance, but it's always encouraged. We do some great things in the hospital. I want people to hear about those things. And so nothing but positive from me as far as the change. So I'm very, very grateful.
That's great. And that is also something you can listen to. If you can't make it in person, you can listen at home. We broadcast every last Thursday at the month at 5 o'clock now.
It's 5:30.
5:30. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. Where's my head? I was there like last week. Thank you so much, Phil, for those updates. Yep. I'm going to take it over to Jennifer Briner, who is calling in. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. Right now I'm in beautiful, sunny Astoria, Oregon. So
Oregon. Are you getting a lot of rain down there, or is it slightly better than
beautiful blue sky day?
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for making it on the show today, especially you're a time zone away. This is very exciting. Jennifer, tell me about this new colonoscopy clinic.
Yeah, we're really excited. In the past, we've always partnered with a surgeon from Ketchikan for decades.
The late Robert Garcia?
Yes, and he was tragically killed in, I think it was 2016, and we had a physician from Juneau who was very nice to step in just for a year, and then we ended up needing to find a surgeon. It was very difficult to do, and then COVID hit and everything shut down. And so it's one of those services that we've really wanted to bring back. It's so important for, early detection of colorectal cancer, which is a leading cause of death. And it's certainly one of the highest or the most frequent cancers that we see here in Petersburg and help with the chemotherapy on. So it's really important for us to open that service line that back up. And we have a great collaboration with, we've been working with CERT and Sitka, and one of their part-time physicians is new to the new to CERT, and that was part of some of the time that she could allocate. And she's excellent. Her name is Dr. Bijiba Garrison, and she is a woman who's just incredibly skilled, and her bedside manner is excellent. So we're just thrilled that we had such a great team. So Dr. Garrison, and then we had Kelly Gebler, who is a CRNA from Sitka, came over as a team and partnered with our team. And it was really like building the program from ground up. It had been, I think, 2018 was the last time we had done colonoscopies. And in that time, equipment has changed, and we've had new staff and new documentation system. And so we really had to develop the whole system from scratch, but it was great. We had really great enthusiasm and teamwork from our staff, as well as the support people in Sitka to kind of help us, think of things that maybe we weren't thinking about. Last week we had on the 26th was our first day, and things just went so much more smoothly than I even anticipated they would. So the team was excellent, the equipment was excellent, and I think people were really thrilled to be able to do those screenings and diagnostic colonoscopies at home. So we had 18 patients, and things went super smoothly, and we're really looking forward to another clinic, I believe, the week of the 15th of January. So we're getting a wait list already, kind of a long wait list, and we've been calling people from our old wait list. So it will take a while for us to catch up with all the need for people who have put this off for the last 3 or 4 years, but we're very happy to be going forward with it. And we anticipate probably quarterly clinics at this point.
Well, congratulations, Jennifer. That's great news. I would be remiss not to ask, we are creeping into flu season here. How is your department holding up with flu and, all the other crud that, comes around in the fall?
Yeah, I think, I've been out of town here for the last week or so, but so far we haven't been seeing too much of it in the hospital. I've heard about you know, lots of back to school respiratory illnesses. There's some COVID certainly out there, and just kind of other respiratory issues that we see kind of at that beginning of the school year. Flu shots are out. So I know that public health and the clinic are offering them, and then, you know, we'll continue offering them throughout this fall. We're planning to have a booth at Oktoberfest for people who are, you know, haven't been immunized yet, and looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Jennifer, thank you so much for that update. I see we have someone calling in with a question. I'm going to go ahead and put them on. I hope it doesn't boot you off. Fingers crossed, but we will see. This is a new frontier. Hi, caller. You are on PMC Live. What is your question for our guests?
This is so valuable to have a time we can ask questions, especially if we can't attend the forums, and I thank you.
My question
is for Mr. Hofstetter. The $8 million from the infrastructure, there's two questions. The $8 million from the infrastructure, how much is that is actually left? You know, considering the architect's fees, and also the $83 million quote, now that the 20 mil has been given, that might help, but isn't that a contractual estimate before COVID?
Yeah, hi, thanks for the question. A couple of things. We have probably used less than a third of the original $8 million from Murkowski's funding. So that's, I'd have to get the accuracy of that amount, but that's roughly where we are currently.
Right.
And then related to, the, you know, one of the things that we identified early on is that we need to keep costs down. And costs related to square footage. So a lot of the hard work behind the scenes has been about making sure that square footage is at a level that we can not go over budget. So we spent there's a lot of work behind that number to
right,
keep the cost low.
Right, but that was pre-COVID, sir, right?
That's correct. Yep, we had an estimation with the master plan done, and we tried to keep to that budget. With current
That's terrific.
Rates.
And congratulations on the $20 million.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
And thank
Bye-bye.
You for your question. Awesome, awesome. Well, Jennifer, I am going to put you back on. We had to interrupt that call for a second. Jennifer, can you still hear us?
I can hear you.
Excellent. All righty. We still have Jennifer Briner. Over to you, Sonia. Welcome. I believe this is your first time on the show, or...
At least in a while.
Excellent. All right. Well, that might have been before my time, but mm-hmm. welcome, welcome. It is October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Do you have any programs related to that, or a message for the world on breast cancer awareness?
Yeah, I think it's... like you said, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's that time of year that we see all the pro sports teams getting their pink cleats out and everybody's wearing their pink ribbons, and it's a great time of year. And we love all the awareness brought to breast cancer. I always like to plug, it's not just a one time a year thing. Breast cancer awareness is also then something we need to pull through the rest of the year as well. We've all heard the statistic, 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, which is, you know, it's a high number. It's scary to think. When you think of it that way, we also worry about people with family history, and everybody worries, my aunt, my sister, my mother have had breast cancer. But we also need to remember, even if you do not have a family history of breast cancer, getting screened is so important. They say 3 out of 4 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer that do not have a family history. So as family history is an increased risk, even if you don't have that family history, it's important to stay up to date on screening. So with talking about breast cancer, mammography is technically the gold standard screening tool for breast cancer. You know, there's a lot of connotation behind having your mammogram done, but it truly is the best screening tool out there right now. And with mammograms, our physicians are able to find that breast cancer at its earliest stages. A lot of times that mammogram can find it before a woman can even feel breast cancer in her breast. So therefore, it's more easily treatable, earlier stages, better prognosis. It just relates back to that mammogram being so important.
Certainly. This is just a question from my own interest. Does your department also have sonograms for screening as well as mammograms?
We can do ultrasounds as screenings. A lot of times they are used in conjunction with that mammogram. Breast density is very out in the open nowadays. There's new regulations passed by the FDA. Anyone that has a mammogram will be informed of their breast density now. Having a conversation with your physician about your breast cancer risk factors is great. So the answer is yes, we can do ultrasounds as screening, although many times that mammogram is needed first.
Certainly.
There are little signs on the mammograms, say little calcifications that can be an early indicator of breast cancer that might not be seen on that ultrasound, but you can see them on the mammogram that the ultrasound then can help diagnose as well.
Absolutely. Any equipment updates on that end? Do you all have everything you need to meet this need for the community?
We do have some exciting equipment updates.
Excellent.
We are scheduled to have a new mammo machine installed either December or January. We have been kind of behind constraints of production. So we'd have now heard from the manufacturer there is a machine allocated to Petersburg Medical Center. This new piece of machinery is very welcomed. Lots of people have heard of a 3D exam. That's what this machine will be. It really just helps precision and improves details of exams. It's basically like taking a bunch of little pictures at one time and then composing them to make one full image. But the radiologists, those physicians reading them, are able then to kind of scroll through that breast tissue and look at the individual layers and see something smaller that might be smashed just between some breast tissue that you wouldn't see. But you're able to kind of scroll through them and look at those individual layers.
That's phenomenal. Thank you so much, Sonia. Are there any other updates from the radiology department? Any other messages about how to stay vigilant if you are of a demographic that is vulnerable to you?
Yeah, I think there's lots of screening exams that can be done. Like we say, mammograms. If you're a smoker, there's a lung cancer screening that you can ask your physician about. Blood vessels, there's lots of screening exams. Like if you have been a smoker, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, there's always different exams, you know, that you can do. And those are great questions for your physician if you are eligible. Osteoporosis, we have a bone density screening for those women over the age of 65 that are entering menopause. Find your bone health before you have the broken bone. That's another great screening tool that we can provide.
Fantastic. Well, Sonia, thank you so much for your time here. Thank you, Phil. And yep. Thank you, Jennifer, all the way over in Oregon. That's about all the time we have for today. Coming up next, we've got Street Beat with Steve Barry, followed by High Country with Dave Israelson. Thank you at home so much for joining me for PMC Live. We'll be right back with that music.